welcome to the Healthy Life Redesign Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly O'Brien. As a naturopathic doctor, I help you to transform your health and amplify your energy with nutrition, natural medicine, and neuroscience. Each week, I share life-changing health habits and mindset shifts to help you break through the struggle and become the person you know you are meant to be. Are you ready to let your health and happiness come naturally? It's time to own your health and live a life you love. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Healthy Life Redesign Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly O'Brien. Today, I'm interviewing Dr. Lisa Bélanger, who I've had the pleasure of getting to know through the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers. As a behavior change expert, a published researcher, and the award-winning CEO of ConsciousWorks, Lisa helps people to realize how seemingly small habit changes can have a profound impact on our well-being, productivity, and happiness. She is incredibly accomplished and has authored two books, one of which is entitled Inspire Me Well, Finding Motivation to Take Control of Your Health. She's also the founder of Knight's Cabin, a nationwide retreat that helps cancer survivors to implement healthy habits and to focus on their self-care. Lisa, that's a pretty amazing bio, and I'm thrilled to have you on the Healthy Life Redesign podcast with me today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Lisa, although we didn't actually officially meet in person until 2016, I had first actually heard your story several years earlier on a news interview when you were first creating the Knight's Cabin Retreat for cancer survivors. And so at that time, I really didn't ever anticipate that we would actually meet, but I remember sitting there. I was in university completing my first degree at the time, and I was just so moved by your story, and it's something that really has stuck with me ever since over the years. And so I'd love for you to share your story with our audience today and a bit of what's motivated you to make your health such a priority in your life.
Sure. So I started in kinesiology just because it was a way to play sports and get a science degree at the same time, not thinking too much further than that. And when I was going through that degree, a good friend of mine was diagnosed with cancer. When I would go home to visit her, we would often go to yoga classes or go for walks, and not a lot of intention behind doing that. I just knew she felt better and slept better and after she did those behaviors. After she passed, I saw a different way to use physical activity in people's lives, helping improve quality of life. So often we talk about health behaviors and their prevention of disease or preventing death, and all of that is very true. However, looking at it from more of how can you improve the days that we have? So inspired by that, I went on to do my master's and my PhD working with cancer survivors and physical activity, really focused on the psychology of how to improve their quality of life and how exercise can do that. As I went along, I realized that part of my motivation is also because I'm what I lovingly call a control enthusiast. So I like looking at aspects of our health we can control. There's so much of disease risk that we can't control, like age, race, sex. But there's these behaviors that we can control that we have an influence over. After I completed my degrees, I was really inspired that taking control of these behaviors after cancer treatment or during cancer treatment can have a profound impact on quality of life, but also on disease-free survival. So the research was showing that physical activity, for example, after a colorectal cancer diagnosis, regardless if you've ever done exercise before, starting to do about 30 minutes a day could reduce the chances of recurrence by over 50%. We don't even have drugs that can do that. So these behaviors are powerful beyond the idea of quality of life and how you feel. So I started Knight's Cabin, as you mentioned, which is a retreat for cancer survivors that focuses on physical activity, nutrition, stress, and sleep, the behaviors you can control, and looking at how to make the best of the rest of your life, how to prevent disease recurrence, how to really get back to living. So that's part of what I do now. And then on my company called ConsciousWorks looks at how these health behaviors affects short-term goals such as performance, productivity, focus, employee engagement, these short-term goals, and mental health being a big one of those.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I love that. I just, it reminds me how much health spills over into other categories for people, and how sometimes people aren't feeling motivated in their health necessarily, but if they think about how being healthier is going to affect their performance, whether it be at work or in their business or giving them more energy for their family. So I love that overlap that you have with Conscious Works as far as bringing it all together as that overall piece.
And to your point, I know that a lot of us perform health behaviors because they have a positive approach for our health. But for many of us, the idea of going for a run, you're not thinking about preventing heart disease. You're going for a run because that provides some sort of immediate benefit. So is it, like you said, focus or productivity, performance in your job? Is it having the energy after work to spend time with your family? Something that's more immediate that you can see the results right away versus 20, 30 years down the road.
Huge. Yeah, completely huge. And so one of the things that I find in my practice and with the people that I work with is that I feel like people can get stuck and they might be thinking that they want to make a change in their health, but they're just not really feeling that motivation. And what I find when I'm working with people is that internal motivation, so feeling that internal drive to keep going, isn't something that just appears. And it's actually something that builds as we take action and we see results. So we see results, let's say, you know, we've got that running practice and we start to see more energy or we're losing weight. And that motivates us to keep going. But unfortunately, if we don't have that kind of inherently, it can be really hard to get started. And people end up waiting for these external motivators. So you've kind of alluded to that as well, whether it's a cancer diagnosis or your doctor telling you that you need to be more active because you are sitting at really high risk for cardiovascular disease. So with all of your research and the work that you do with your clients, I'm wondering if you have any strategies or tips that people can utilize to help develop more of that internal motivator to get them started before they're seeing the results of the things that they know they need to be doing in their health.
Absolutely. You have to start with why. Why are you doing it? And to your point, there could be some, you know, extreme measure, cancer diagnosis, health risk factors that are pulled in. But for most of us, it's an emotional reason that we have to find. So for example, the answer might not be to stay healthy for longer. That's not really attached to your heartstrings. Maybe it's to be able to play with your children and be able to keep up with them. Maybe it's be able to check the things off your bucket list and go climb Kilimanjaro because that's really important to you. But it's got to be an emotional connection to the why. So if it is to be healthier, why do you want to be healthier? What is the things in your life that truly have an impact and that are important to you that would be influenced by these behaviors? So if your biggest goal in life is to make senior VP at Name the Company, how are these health behaviors going to get you there? And then as a side effect, they'll also increase your health and all the good things there.
That's huge. I love it. And that's actually the exact same approach that I take with people. And I have them like really journal it or write it out and keep it somewhere where they can pull it out. So on those days where they just don't feel like going for a run or they don't feel like sticking to whatever kind of diet they may be on, they can pull that out and tune back in to that as a motivator. Because I also find that the why is something that definitely becomes foggy for people if it's not being checked into on a regular basis. And so on that note, is there something that you find is your primary why or your motivator when it comes to your health and everything that you're doing?
I think it's, you know, as cliche as it is, you get one life and I want to live the heck out of it. So I want to be able to check all the things off on my bucket list. I want to be able to keep up with my son and show him how to play hockey. I want to be the best I can absolutely be in my business. It is a lot of travel, a lot of stressful deadlines. There's always things that are being thrown at me. So to be able to manage stress and to be able to push through to achieve my business goals are really important to me. So oddly enough, I didn't say health in there once, but for a long-term goal, absolutely. It's just it's not something I think about every day. It is not why I get out and go running at minus 30. I'm just kidding. I would never go running at minus 30.
Thank you.
I'm a fair weather runner, but that's not the reason. The reason is being able to keep up with my son. The reason is being able to role model these behaviors for my son. And then, you know, my personal goals, if I'm not performing at my best, they're just simply not even in reach. So that's why I do these behaviors.
Yeah, which is a huge realization for yourself. I've faced the same kind of realizations for myself and my health before, that health is a measure. It's something that helps to power me forward to be able to do all of the other things that I love in life. And that's one of the things that I find so important to help to communicate to people too. Like, you don't have to be what's considered a health nut to be able to start making these healthy changes. It's about prioritizing them in a way that works for you, and making it a part of what you see as a healthy life. And that's my whole approach with Healthy Life Redesign. It's redesigning your life so that health is an important component to help you reach all of these other goals and things that are so important. And so one of the things, again, that comes up for people is that it's that time. It's they're really busy, whether it's with work or family, or whatever it may be, that is that thing that they want to be healthy so they can do more of those things, but those things are taking up a lot of time in their life as is. So do you have any strategies or insights as far as how people can utilize their time or find time in a day? And as a new mom and business owner, how do you find the time to prioritize your own health?
I think that's a great question. And according to research, with any population survey, time is the number one reason they don't do name the health behavior. So it's a predominant concern. But in my opinion, you're always going to be too busy until you make the time. So it has to come first for me. So I'm nothing to my son, to my business, to my husband, to my friends, unless I am healthy and doing well. And being able to do that, there's two things that are non-negotiables in my day: health behaviors and quality time with my son. Even saying that, there's always deadlines that come in, there's things being thrown at you all day long. So what I do, so from a very practical perspective, is my husband and I meal plan and pre-make meals, because if we leave it to the weekdays when everything's flying so quickly and it becomes very tempting to order pizza at the end of the day, we will do that, right? Mm-hmm. So if we have something prepared, we can throw it in the oven. That's fantastic. I pre-make our breakfast. I make an egg omelet type thing in muffin tins and have that for the week that my son enjoys. My husband will eat in the car as he commutes to work. So it's something that works with our family. Mindfulness is something, in my opinion, that can be practiced a few minutes at a time during the day. So the big trick I have for that is when I grab my coffee, and I have a coffee every morning, when I put my hands on the cup and feel the warmth, I'm reminded to come back to my five senses and to just drink my coffee. And that's my little bit of mindfulness and making sure that I do get it in during my day. And then the other thing that I often do is family activities or even date night that involves physical activity, because then you're getting the quality time in with your family, your role modeling the behavior, and you're already taking that time and have kind of sectioned it away to do something with your partner, with your family. So just making it something active, and that's usually a lot of fun. And then my last point on this, and it is the most important in my opinion, is I try to be 100% wherever I am. So if I'm working on my work, becoming a mom, being really busy has made me prioritize and made me have the time management skills to get more done in a shorter period of time. And then when I'm home, I'm 100% home. I'm at the dinner table and I'm with the people that I'm there with, because a lot of people will come home and they're still half at work and they're still thinking about work. And really, you're not serving your family at that point and you're not serving your work, because you're doing neither very well. So those are kind of the things that I've developed over the last couple of years to allow me to still make sure I'm taking care of my health, making sure I'm getting the quality time with my family, that I'm performing well at work, and then I'm here when I get home.
Amazing. All really fabulous tips. And so it sounds like a lot of it comes down to that time management and setting your priorities. So again, linking that back, everyone who's listening, link that back to your why. Because once you know why your health is important and why it is that you need to prioritize it, then it becomes easier to make time for it. And another thing that I really like that you touched on there is something that I call habit stacking. So that cup of coffee in the morning and putting your hands around that warm cup and how that habit, that morning ritual with a coffee, triggers the next behavior, which is that mindfulness. I find so often if it's instead of creating this completely new habit of having to sit down and meditate for 10 or 20 minutes, if you can just stack that mindfulness piece onto something that you're already doing, or exercise, or maybe it's meal planning that comes after, whatever the habit may be, if you can integrate that into something that you're already doing and in a way that doesn't take a lot of time, then especially in the initial phases, that can really help to make you feel more confident because you're getting these little wins and successes. And when you're doing that on a day-to-day basis, then it becomes a habit. So that is perfect. Thank you, Lisa. Another thing. So now let's say we've got somebody who they've gotten that internal spark. They're feeling motivated. They're making these changes in their health and it's great. And they're starting maybe to see results, or maybe they're not. Maybe they're a couple weeks in and things are happening slower than they thought they would. I'm sure we've all been there before when we start a new fitness regime or a diet or whatever it may be. But that's when people start to lose the consistency and they start again to lose that motivation. And maybe they're not getting to the gym or going for a run, or they start changing what they're reaching for again when it comes to food. So do you have any tips or strategies as to how people can maintain and build consistency once they have integrated a habit into their health plan?
So one of the most important things from behavior change theory on habit development or behavior change is solely changing one habit at a time. So focusing on, you know, name a habit. So pick whatever is most important to you. So if we think of a circle of physical activity, nutrition, stress management, and sleep, they all influence each other. And in order to effectively change behavior, you focus on one of them at a time. So we've all gone through those periods where we've made New Year's resolutions and we're going to be the healthiest person in the world this year. And we're going to change our sleep patterns. We're going to exercise more. We're going to do with this brand new diet. And we're going to make sure that we have mindfulness every day. And that literally is why the gyms are empty on January 14th. So one habit at a time is so incredibly important. If you change one of those, they will have a positive influence on the others. So for example, if you are really focusing on sleep, people that get good enough, long enough and good enough quality sleep actually eat approximately 500 to 1,000 calories less a day, just because they're not having the cortisol spike and the kind of that food craving from the other end. So you can focus on one of these at a time. To your point about what happens when you start to get off track, having that mindset of not yet instead of I've failed is so key. So we often think that, you know, if we're tracking our habit and we're like, we didn't do it today, we fell off the rail, we had two glasses of wine and we said we weren't drinking while we're on this new diet or why we're doing this. That's fine. There's tomorrow. So not feeling like it's an all or nothing approach. Mm-hmm. It's these daily decisions, the sum of those daily decisions. So you get to do a clean slate tomorrow and work on you decision by decision.
Perfect. So one habit at a time, and then don't beat yourself up if it doesn't happen overnight, because again, we're building these long-term habits and it's about this long-term change. And of course there will be bumps in the road, and sometimes we do make what would be considered quote unquote the wrong choice or what we didn't intend to do, and it's just about resetting, reconnecting with your why and getting back on track. So I've got a couple questions here coming for you from that angle. One, how long do you find that it takes for somebody to build a habit, and how often should they be trying to incorporate these new habits as they go?
So there's no set time. In popular media, there, you know, there's 21 and 30 and, you know, like you hear all the, it depends on the habit and depends on how challenging it is for you. The idea and the way to amplify behavior change is get it to a point where it's no longer a decision. That's so important. So for example, it's no longer, should I work out today? It's I'm working out today, period. In some habit research, it could literally be once you do it once, you get the reward you want. It's something that is, can incorporate into your life. You're not having to give up much to get there. And then there's others that are still 365 days later and the habit isn't fully formed. There's still a lot of cognitive process that goes into that. And there's a lot of effort to do it. So there's no set answer. It's a matter of an individualized approach and what that habit is.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it depends, like you said, it depends on the scale of the habit. And it sounds like it's when that habit becomes into that non-negotiable category of behaviors for you, when it's happening despite anything else, that is when you know that you're set. And so in regards to habits that people that are listening could implement or could look to build into the routine, if they were looking for results as fast as they can get them and wanting to make the biggest shifts forward in their health, is there any particular habit that you found comes up in research or that you've seen works to move people forward faster than others?
So not necessarily. Again, it's an individualized approach, because if you don't enjoy the behavior, it's going to be a lot more challenging to do. So if you have, for example, you know, a great habit to get into is to have 2 cups of vegetables at dinner at night. Mm-hmm. But you're somebody that absolutely hates vegetables, don't choose that. Right. Choose something else that you enjoy. So if it's yoga classes or going for runs or what have you, it's got to be something you love. And I know that's not rocket science, but it comes up in the literature over and over and over again. If you don't enjoy doing it or find something around it you enjoy, you simply won't do it. So I'm going to preface this with one thing. The idea is, for example, if you don't love broccoli, like if broccoli was just sitting in front of you and you wouldn't necessarily gravitate to that, but you bring out hummus or something and you will eat the broccoli because of the hummus, the something around it. Mm-hmm. Same thing as you don't love running. You would not go down to your basement and go on a treadmill and run in the dark. It is not an enjoyable experience for you, mm-hmm. but you do like running outside or listening to music or audiobooks or running with a friend and having that socializing or racing and having that competition. Finding something around the behavior or the behavior itself that you really enjoy doing, that will be the key to success.
Yeah, do what you enjoy. And again, if you're doing something that you enjoy, then it's so much easier to become ingrained into those things that you're doing every day to take care of yourself. And so on that note, when you get busy or when you are short on time, is there certain habits that are higher priority on your non-negotiable list than others, or things that you find that you really need to keep in your health routine in order to be your best and to be on your game?
So when time gets low or things get crazy or I'm traveling, which is another one, mm-hmm. I go for M&M. So movement and meditation, the idea that you can be mindful anywhere that you are does not matter, and practice that ability to focus on one thing or to be present. That can be practiced anywhere at any time, and it's going to reduce the stress you're experiencing. The other one, movement, is something that trying to work in movement. I'm not saying sectioning off time to go to the gym. I'm saying walking a little bit more, fitting it in. For example, going to a business meeting across downtown, most of the time it would take you just as much time to walk there as it would to get in the car, find parking, and drive. So it's something that can be fit into even a very busy schedule. It's also something that would really help, for example, creativity, innovation, productivity, physical activity, helps out immensely. So if you're feeling stuck, going for a walk and then coming back, you'll be able to get more done. So those are the two. Not saying that, for example, proper nutrition isn't incredibly important. It is, and same with sleep. But these two behaviors will actually help with both of those as well. So what I do when time is low is grab the M&M.
Perfect. And on that M&M note, I'm very glad to hear it was movement and meditation. At first, I was like, M&Ms. All right. Please do tell me more. Okay. Yeah. Again, I love it, Lisa. Full of really great actionable insights. So I'm sure that the listeners out there are filled with ideas and inspiration as far as what it would take for them to get started. But I'm sure that there's also some people out there who feel like despite all of the information we've talked about, they've been feeling stuck in their health lately. And maybe they're still feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Like, what should they be focusing on first? So to any of those people, kind of despite what their current health situation might be, what do you recommend to somebody to do in that situation to just create some initial forward momentum that can light that spark a bit more?
So it's a three-step process. Number one, grab a coffee or tea and just drink it. That's it. That's all you're doing for that period of time. And number two is pick one of those four big influential health behaviors: physical activity, nutrition, stress, or sleep, and a very, very, very bite-sized goal in one of those behaviors. So, for example, if it's walking 10 or 20 minutes a day, or if it's a short mindfulness practice every day, or two cups of vegetables at dinner, or just being able to get to bed before 10 p.m. Very small, actionable approach. The other important thing to note, when you are creating a habit, you can't get rid of an old habit. You can only replace it. That's the mistake a lot of people do, is they'll say, I won't have fast food. I won't eat that chocolate bar right before bed. And that is an impossible task. All you can do is replace it with something else, which is very possible. And then step three is tell someone and ask somebody for help. There's no reason to be doing this by yourself. At the very least, you're going to positively influence that other person and start taking the next step to getting to what health behavior you'd like to conquer.
Perfect. Okay. So to summarize that, it sounds like first, create a little bit of space. So after this podcast, sit aside, grab yourself a nice warm beverage and create some space so that they can think, and then choose a realm that they want to work on. So again, whether that's exercise, nutrition, mindfulness, whatever it may be, and decide on one action that you can do on a consistent basis. So this is something that you're working to incorporate, whether it be once a day that you decide, or maybe this is something that happens a couple times a week. And remember, you are replacing habits instead of creating or just taking out habits. One thing that I actually like to share with people on that side, and the way that you termed the language there of I can't have this or I won't have this, it's sometimes it's the simple language shifts. So I tell people to say, I could, but I choose not to. And then you feel really empowered because it's not that deprivation state that comes up when we're making these changes. It's I could have that chocolate chip cookie, or I could have that soda, or I could not go to the gym. I could do all of these things if I wanted to, but I want a different outcome for myself. So I'm choosing to do this. And then that that kind of auto-regulation, that sense that you have the choice and you're creating this future, comes back into play. And I find people get more empowered. And then reach out, everyone, reach out for support. And remember, you're not in this alone. I'm sure everyone listening to the show today has something that they want to move forward with in regards to their health. We're all looking to create progress and change and to shift things forward. And we're all in this together. So reach out for support. And on that note, thank you, Lisa, so much for everything that you've shared today. I know you have a ton of really great resources out there and a few different websites and social media pages. Where should we direct listeners to find you online?
So thank you so much for having me. I am publishing a lot of different things and things I'm really excited about at consciousworks.co or at consciousworks on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Practical things that you can fit into your everyday life that will have a massive impact on your performance and your health.
Perfect. All right, everyone, make sure to head over there to Lisa's pages with Conscious Works and check that out. Thank you again so much, Lisa, for sharing all of those amazing insights with us today. And thank you to all of you Healthy Life Redesigners out there for tuning in. Now it's time to get out there and to implement what you've learned today. Remember that transformational change occurs one small action at a time. I look forward to seeing you back here again next week with more advice and inspiration to help you to own your health and live a life you love. Bye for now.